It's episode 569 of the Locked On Texas Rangers podcast. On today's show, I have Locked On MLB Prospects host Lindsey Crosby to talk about the Rangers farm system, about their top 10 prospects, how we have the exact same top 10 prospects but in different orders, about Jack Leiter, more about his debut, and how Lindsey also thinks that he could be pitching in Arlington by the end of the year. Let's get into it.
You are Locked On Rangers, your daily Texas Rangers podcast, part of the Locked On Podcast Network, your team every day.
You are locked onto the Texas Rangers. I'm your host, Bryce Patrick, here today with Lindsey Crosby. I tell you about his show every single day. He is the prospect expert encyclopedia. We are here to talk Rangers, prospects, all things Jack Leiter, all things AA Frisco, all things all across the Texas Rangers farm system. But first, thank you guys so much for making Locked On Rangers and Locked On MLB Prospects your first listen every day. If you're not already, go ahead and follow me on Twitter at Bryce Patrick. Follow Lindsey Crosby at Crosby Baseball, and subscribe on YouTube or wherever you get your podcasts. Now, Lindsey, we are here to talk about this loaded Rangers system, which has been a while since I've been able to genuinely say that without lying. What are your initial thoughts on this Texas Rangers system?
So you can't tell from my top 10, but the Texas Rangers have 37,000 middle infielders, which works out well because you also have literally half a billion dollars in middle infielders at the major league level. So I'm really interested in the versatility of a lot of these guys. But no, just really loaded system. Lots of guys that I really love. And the thing with this system is so many of these guys have like glaringly elite tools. And the thing that I always talk about on my show is when you're trying to figure out prospects and you're picking guys, you want them to be exceptionally good at something. And there's so many teams, it feels like they draft for just like, he'll be a good baseball player. Like that's useful to an extent. You have to have good baseball players, but you need guys that have elite level tools because you're trying to find superstars here. And like that is like you saw by your free agent frenzy how expensive it is to get a star. And so if you get guys with elite tools and then develop the rest of the package, you can get superstars in a much cheaper way. And there's guys in the system who could be superstars.
Well, that's encouraging to say because that's something that I always say the opposite. I always say this Ranger system is really deep, but there's not a lot of real stars. But I wanted to get into your top 10. I looked at yours and we have pretty similar. We have the exact same players in our top 10. The placement is pretty similar, but I want to go through my top 10 and see what surprises you. It also, you admitted that you had not seen my top 10, which is very rude that you haven't listened to every single episode of my show. Very rude of you. But anyway, let's start with my number one, Josh Jung. Number two, Jack Leiter. Number three, Cole Winn. Four, Ezekiel Duran. Five, Owen White. Six, Justin Foscue. Seven, Evan Carter. Eight, Josh H. Smith. 9, Luis Angel Acuna, and 10, Dustin Harris. I do say Josh H. Smith because there was a different Josh Smith with some other middle initial that was a reliever in Hickory last year, so they had to differentiate. Why he got the middle initial, I don't really know. Actually, the other one might have had another, but actually used his middle initial, but I can't remember what it is, so kind of eluding me at this point. But yours is a little different than mine.
Yeah, and the big change there, I mean, obviously the top, I have Jack Leiter number one and Josh Jung number two, Cole Winn at three, Ezekiel Duran at four. Here's the big difference. I have Dustin Harris at five, and I think that's a whole conversation we're going to end up having. Justin Foscue at six, Owen White at seven, Evan Carter at eight, Josh Smith at nine, and Little Acuna at 10. And for me, yeah, we just have a little bit different opinion on Dustin Harris. And for me, it's the quality of the hit tool. That's something where I feel like he's one of the better in the system. He's the only player in the minor leagues last year that had like 20 or more doubles, home runs, and less than 100 strikeouts. And to me, it's one of those things where it's surprising that he's grown that much since he was part of that Mike Minor deal, but
it's absolute thievery.
Yes. But it's something where, like, I mean, you look at the 90th percentile exit velo of 101. You look at the track record he did last year. And I think it's part of it's me overcorrecting from the previous year, the ratings I had him before. But part of it, and I think part of that too, is the question about where's his defense going to go. I mean, I'm not as worried about some people as his defense, because now we have a designated hitter. There's places you can put him.
I will say he is. You have him listed as a corner infielder. He's listed primarily as an outfielder. He's going to play mostly left field. He is still going to get some games, his manager said, at first base. They didn't say he was going to get games at third. I have to imagine they'd still want him to play at least a little bit. But, I mean, first base, the entire Rangers infield, like not just the middle infield guys, but the entire Rangers infield is pretty much locked and loaded for the next half decade or so, with Nathaniel Lowe at first base and Josh Young pretty much written in pen at third base, plus those other guys that are there. But I'm the high guy on Josh Young. I'm because of Evan Grant of the Dallas Morning News ranking him number one, I am not the only person to put him number one in my rankings. Part of that is my Texas Tech bias. I have actually seen him in person since he was a freshman at Texas Tech, him and Shea Langeliers, and I have been a really high guy on him. But I did this before Jack Leiter had pitched in a professional game at that point, and Josh Young was literally knocking on the door of the big leagues, and had he not had that shoulder injury, he would be the Rangers' opening day third baseman. And, he is, I think you listed him as out for the year. He's going to be back. He's probably not going to play third base this year, but he's scheduled to be back probably sometime around the mid to late August. But he's pretty much going to be in just a DH-only type of role. I don't know if he's going to be healthy enough to start playing third base by the end of the year, but I do think he will be back in a lineup. What lineup it is, I'm not exactly sure. But I wouldn't be surprised if he made his major league debut towards the end of the season, because this guy is as hard a baseball worker as there is, and I really want the Rangers to draft his little brother, Jace Young, this year, and I know that Josh Young does as well.
Yeah, I mean, it's something where his brother plays second. Obviously, you kind of have the question, if you're bringing him in, where do you intend to play him? But I actually like the idea of him having a chance to DH and kind of dip his toe into high-level pitching and into MLB before trying to also worry about playing third at the major league level. So I didn't necessarily realize he was going to be back in time to make an impact this season, whether it's at Round Rock or in Arlington. I really am excited about seeing him up there finally. But yeah, no, it's the thing for me. I think the reason I ended up moving him down to second was ultimately the defense. He's a very hard worker, and he has gotten better at it, but I just didn't necessarily, he has the arm strength. He's worked on his accuracy throwing to first. I just didn't necessarily feel like his defense and his speed warranted number one overall number one prospect in the system status, but I do have him very high up there. I do expect him to have the job next year. I feel bad for Charlie Culberson. I don't necessarily know where Charlie's going to play because, like you said,
you mean Andy Ibañez. Andy Ibañez, the opening day third baseman for now, which is a real nice surprise because I watched him in Double A for a while and I was like, I don't really get what they're seeing in this kid, but he worked on his defense. He's actually a average defensive third baseman. But there's one more guy that I want to talk about in the top 10 that I think you should be higher on, because. And I probably should have had him higher in my rankings, but that's Owen White. And I had him all the way at 5. But the stuff that he showed last year in the fall league, and he missed some significant time because he is, as one Rangers prospect writer called him, bar fight White, because he is a very fiery guy. He punched the ground and broke his hand, and that's why he missed a lot of time. But his stuff is absolutely disgusting. It is electric. He has had some prospect writers put a future 70 OFP on him because his stuff is some of the nastiest in the system. It might be there with Leiter, probably done three pitches as good as him, but his fastball is nasty, his breaking stuff is nasty, and he really needs to be on a lot more people's radars as being pretty high. He's going to be a top 100 guy consensus around most places by the end of the season, I think.
Yeah, and the big thing there for me with Owen White is just health. I mean, drafted in 2018, they rested him post draft, so he didn't go to
that was part ball. Of the deload program the Rangers did that had some disastrous effects. But they'd had so many Tommy John surgeries that I don't blame them for trying. It just worked out horrendously.
Yeah, I mean, 2019, he's recovering from his own TJ. Then he lost 2020. So, like, the big thing for me is I can recognize the tools. He's got tons of ability. I do have him on my short list of top pitching prospects in baseball by next season. But it's just I think he's thrown, like, 36 innings in professional baseball, and he was drafted in 2018.
But they were really good, though.
They were really good innings. The fastball is a really good fastball. I mean, swing and miss is almost 50% on that thing. It's a really good fastball. I think my notes say, like, one of the best fastballs in the entire system. It's just a matter of I've barely seen it. And he's a guy, he's one of the guys I have marked as, like, he's going to climb the board relatively quickly. We're going to have him in that, I mean, probably top five, if not, you know, top three, if he stays healthy the entire season, just based on what he has. He'll probably overtake Alex Spies for best fastball in the system and be one of the top, five or six pitching prospects in all of baseball.
Well, I don't know that I saw that lighter fastball firsthand, and I saw some of the TrackMan numbers on it, and it was a good thing that I was sitting down, because that was my goodness, it was beautiful and disgusting all at the same time.
Yeah, it's I've had a chance to watch lighter pitch in the SEC for a little while, and then I mean it's something where no-brainer. That was the easiest draft pick I've ever seen. I imagine there's a very, very real chance he'll be in Texas this year.
I mean, he'll be in the league level this year. That is one of my three bold predictions of, like, he makes a couple of starts by the end of the season.
And it's not even going to be I think he'll be good when he does it. I mean, it's not even that surprising.
I think it's going to be – I'm hoping my goal for the Rangers this year is just, like, not be out of it in the last month of the season. You don't have to, like, win anything, but just, like, don't be completely out of the race. And I think they might bring him up to help them actually win baseball games as this first full year of being drafted, which is hilarious and amazing.
I mean, starting him off at AA in and of itself is a huge sign of, you know, vote of confidence in his stuff and what he does. And I mean, I think I have him as the number one prospect in the system. And it's kind of reflective of the fact that he's in essence just about ready to go now. Only thing that you're really doing is you're really just one. It's the clock, right? It's the service time clock. But then really what you're doing is you're just getting him acclimated to the rigors of professional baseball as far as pitching every fifth day. You saw in college he skipped a start due to I think it was like arm fatigue, and
pretty much fatigue. He just wasn't, you know, sustaining it through the last start, and he had kind of had a couple of starts that were not as great as he wanted.
But like other than that, I mean, he's in essence a fully formed, made product ready to go. And that's what's terrifying. And like, that's why I had him ultimately number one overall, was just the fact that he's got one of the most electric arsenals in the entire country. You know, the fastball can hit 99. I mean, the curveball, the slider, and then like a changeup that he almost never throws. But when he does, it's a 40% swing and miss. He just never throws it. It reminds me of Max Scherzer's curveball. Like, he's like, I don't need it. He has it. It's great. He just doesn't use it. Same thing with lighter. He has a change he doesn't even need. And so, like, that's why I have him number one, is he's got, you know, four plus pitches, including one that's virtually elite and three that are very, very good.
Yeah, he's got a really great arsenal, and him coming up to the big leagues would be something really, really great and really, really fun for Rangers fans to see this year. But coming up, we're going to get into what the timetable on some of these top 10 guys are, how they're going to help the Rangers restock and get back to being a half decent baseball team. But first, this episode is brought to you by Built Bar. You guys know about Built Bar. It is the best tasting protein bar that has ever been invented. That is a fact. That is a true and certified, you know, absolute truth. And there are just so many different flavors. What would you say is your favorite flavor, Lindsay?
Peanut butter brownie. 100% without a doubt. Peanut butter brownie.
Wow, I like a man who's confident and knows exactly what kind of Built Bar. For me, I always waffle because there's literally so many, and I'm indecisive by nature. But the mint brownie is always solid. You know, if you want to go try these out, they are absolutely delicious and great for you. Full of protein, low in sugar. You can go to built.com, use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off your order. Use promo code LOCKED15 for 15% off at built.com.
Wait, that was promo code LOCKED15 at Built.com?
Yeah, correct. For 15% off your order at Built.com.
Nice.
So let's get into this Rangers contention window. Obviously, the Rangers were horrendous last year. Their first 100-loss gayer season. Sorry, not 100. If they lost by 100 in a game, that would be more cause for concern.
I think that would be a record.
It would. It would most definitely be a record. But it's their first 100 loss season since the 70s. This team has had some bad years. It had, honestly, some bad decades. But being 100 loss bad is something that they have avoided since until last year, which the last 2 years has been really rough.
Quick diversion. The modern record for margin of victory was actually your Rangers in 2007. Oh, yeah. You beat the Orioles 3-3.
Okay. Oh, no, I remember. Okay. It was a great game. It was a great game. I believe who was on that team? It wasn't – Josh Hamilton wasn't there yet. Nelson Cruz wasn't there yet. It was some Michael Young action, and I believe – oh, my gosh. Was DeSherry still there, or did he just – he was either there or
I think he had just left for Atlanta.
I think so, because that was the year when things were anyway, that was a really great.
Because Salty LaMacchia hit two homers in that game.
Yeah, he did. Oh, that's the great Salty. On a Rangers, actually, I don't even remember when he left, but around that Rangers contention window, that's kind of about where the Rangers are in that timeline of like, but they really sped up the timeline. That's what happens when you spend $500 million on a new infield, which, you know, thank God they did that. They're so much more fun to watch already this season. But some of these guys, they're going to get here pretty quick. And let's just go through some of the guys who you said we're going to make our guesses of who's going to make it this year. Of their top 10 guys, I think I say Josh Smith is going to make the major leagues this year. I don't know when, but I know he's going to. Cole Winn is most definitely going to make his debut. I don't know when exactly it is, but I know it's going to be before the end of this year, unless the Rangers get like super, super conservative with his development. Because, I mean, they let him go a long time in Double-A last year. He really didn't have that much more to prove in the second half of the season against Double-A hitters. But again, he was another one of those guys who was in the D-load program, hadn't had that much professional experience, but is so polished. I always forget that he's like 21 years old. And I think, he was like 21 years old or 20 years old last year. And he's 21 in Triple-A, knocking on the door of his major league debut. But I think as for those two are the ones, and I think Josh Young eventually, and then maybe a little bit of Jack Leiter. But Smith and Wynn, I think, will contribute for a decent chunk of the season, not just a cup of coffee at the end of the season. Who do you think is going to make it to the major leagues this year from this Ranger system?
So I had Smith and Wynn as well. And the question for Smith for me was like, where does he play? And, you know, and when I do things like this, I assume that guys are healthy. Like, I'm not going to assume you're going to have somebody get hurt and miss a bunch of time. And so he's a guy who I think, and if I remember right, my very first episode when I took over this show, I answered a listener question about Josh Smith. And I said, you know, I think Josh Smith would be a pretty decent outfielder. And so, like, that's something where I think you could, if he plays the outfield, you could have him up sooner rather than later. But either way, I have Smith and Wynn as guys coming up in 22, and then Duran, Harris, and Foskew in like my 23 batch.
Yeah, the question about Smith is a good question, because he is a legit shortstop, and he almost broke camp with the Rangers. That's how well he did in spring training. He really was knocking on the door there, and if he wasn't, you know, primarily an infielder, the Rangers wanted to get, you know, quality at-bats, and they want him to be in AAA, because I don't think he's seen AAA yet before this year. But I think he can play center field. I think that's the question. He's going to be fighting with Leody Taveras, who is an insanely good defensive center fielder. Like, insanely good, but could not hit anything at the major leagues last year, despite having a really solid AAA season. He's off to a really solid start in his first, four or five games in AAA. I think he's hitting around, like, 500 and hitting the snot out of the baseball, which you love to see. He's another guy, a guy who's been on the radar for so long. Fans kind of write him off, but I think he's 23 at the oldest and could provide a lot of value in center field. But Josh Smith is a guy who I really like. I think I'm lower on him. There's a lot of these guys, most of these guys in the top 10, and I'm like, ugh, I should be higher on this guy. Ugh, I should be higher on that. But then who do I, you know, knock down? It's like, it's a nice problem to have, because in years past, I did like a top 20 prospects, because those are the only guys where I was like, all right, maybe 20 of these guys are going to be big leaguers in some capacity. But I think he's going to play a lot of outfield. Him and I'm surprised Duran isn't playing more outfield. Same. Because he started at shortstop last night. Him and Jonathan Ornelas, I think, are going to, you know, split time between second and shortstop. But his manager did say he was going to get a little bit of time. He just said up the middle. And I'm like, so do you mean second and short? But like, what about center field? He's like, yeah, no, I think he'll get some time up there. And I'm like, okay, Okay. He hasn't as quick twitch as Josh Smith. I don't think he's as legit defensively at shortstop. I really don't. I think he's a left fielder slash second base, but he's got a lot more power than Smith. So, yeah, I think he comes up in 23, and Leiter makes more of an impact of being up there for the full season in 23. Fosu, I don't know what kind of a timeline to put on him. He had a really great first half of the season, but once he hit Double A, it really stumped him, and I'm a little worried about he was maybe selling out for a little more power. He's just not as advanced as I would have thought. His strikeout rate was a little higher than I thought it would be for a guy who has his profile, but I think Dustin Harris also makes it in 2023.
Yeah, I mean, and the big question on a lot of these guys, obviously, is just where do they play? I mean, with so many infielders, but Foskey's a guy. I think I had him at sixth. It's the one I don't necessarily super believe in at six. It's something where he really hasn't been healthy, and we just have not seen nearly enough of him for my taste. I mean, he's got like 60 games in professional baseball. Obviously, you know, he was a high school guy, and it's something where like, okay, you don't have a ton of time with him. When you saw him in high A, he looked good. Like you said, scuffled in Double A, really goes for the home run a little too much. And that's something you see in the younger guys. And I just want to see him kind of grow out of that.
He was a college guy. He was, you know, Mississippi State. And the whole thought was that he was a polished guy. And that whole 2020 draft, I was so confused by it at the time as a Rangers fans. And yet we're going to get into this a little bit more, but it's looking like that 2020 draft could be a huge, huge bonus for the Rangers. We're going to take a quick break. When we come back, we're going to look a little bit more at that 2020 draft for the Texas Rangers. So that 2020 draft there's a lot of guys on there. At the time, I was super critical, and I kind of lambasted the Rangers for what they did because they sounded so full of themselves. They were so proud of what they did. And you know the Rangers' history with drafting. It's been bad. It's been really bad, especially at the top end for the last few years. They've done a pretty good job of finding guys in like the 10th through like 20th round that ended up being somewhat capable major leaguers in some capacity. And like, that's great. That's a nice bonus. But when you keep screwing up these top picks, like before these last few years, the Rangers' first round pick history was terrible. I mean, Joey Gallo was one of the few ones that actually came up and made an impact basically since Mark Teixeira. Like, that's how long it had been since the Rangers did well of drafting a first round pick. And they were just like, every draft expert was like, I don't know what these Rangers are doing with these like high school kids, like TK Roby and with Evan Carter and with a couple of the other guys and Foskey too. They're just like, this is dumb. And they're like, we think we outscouted everyone. And I'm like, your history says you did not. Maybe you did, but like your history says no. You probably just, you know, screwed up really bad on this one. And it's looking like no, they were pretty right about that.
Yeah, well, I mean, like, Evan Carter's a guy wasn't on the top 500 list going into the draft.
Crazy.
And I'm like, there's only five rounds, and you're capping. Like, they're capping signing bonuses afterwards. If you've done such a good job at scouting him, just sign him afterwards. Like, somebody else had to know about him for you to take him in the second. And when it first happened, I was really confused. And then you go and you look, and he's a kind of a consensus, you know, top 20 guy there. And it's Foskey, Carter, Roby is a guy that I've got in this rundown as, you know, somebody who I'm excited to watch a bit.
Oh, keep your eyes on him, because that guy's got some nasty stuff. He's changing his arm angle, so his spring was a little bit bad, but he's getting a more, you know, repeatable mechanic, so it's going to do less damage. Because that was one of the worries about him, is he had, you know, kind of funky mechanics that might have hurt him. He was able to dodge Tommy John surgery last year, but did have that elbow injury, so there's a little bit of nerves there. But he's still figuring it out, but his stuff is real good.
Yeah, like, I mean, the spin rate on the fastball is like 2,500 RPMs. The curveball is almost 3,000. The changeup has that good, you know, 10-mile-an-hour difference from the fastball. And he's a guy that a little bit lower ranked in the system, but somebody that I'm really high on. And he's going to be in high A Hickory. I think he's going to make it to Double A easily during the course of the season. And he's my dark horse for maybe even making it to Triple A.
I don't know. I think that might be a little aggressive. The Rangers were pretty aggressive with him and with the other guy that I literally just said 2 seconds ago, Evan Carter. Evan Carter, his back injury scares me a little bit, but I think everything that I've heard, he's a legit defender in center field. The on base, he only played like 30 games last year, but he had an on base over 400 as an 18-year-old in full season ball, or a 19-year-old in full season ball, and I was like, oh?
Yeah, that's a big big thing.
And you played center field?
And you walked more than you struck out?
And you have a little bit of power, especially for a teenager that'll probably come along more. That's very exciting. But this double-A rotation is stacked. Like, it is stacked. It is six deep. It is legit six deep, and there's like a seventh guy that will probably get some time, but I'm sure they would have liked to seen Owen White and TK Roby up, or Tacoa, however you, I usually say TK because I usually screw up either writing or pronouncing Tacoa, but I'm somehow doing it really well now. But like, it's gonna be a matter of time before these guys, I believe every single pitcher of the six in the Frisco rotation is a big leaguer, and I think all of them have the capability to be some level of big league starter. Like, it is really nasty. Zach Kent probably has the best slider in the system. Really interesting kid, is a slider first kind of guy, which I love. A weirdo, love a guy who pitches non-conventionally. Cole Reagan's the guy who had two Tommy John surgeries, former first round pick, has a disgusting changeup, and has touched 97 now. He's sitting 93 to 95, and the slider looks better, the curveball looks better, he's been working a whole lot on those. Got to see a live BP of him. Really like him. And there is also Cody Bradford, who is the opening day starter, who is a local kid from Aledo, went to Baylor, had some injury issues, but is a really solid, really solid prospect that should be on more people's radars. Like, this is a really, really good Frisco rotation. It's not just Jack Leiter. There's a lot of guys in here that are pretty dang good.
I am coming to Arlington for the Braves series to visit my mom. She lives in Dallas. And I am trying to find a way during this trip to like make it to Frisco and see some of these guys, because I have seen nothing but great things. My MILB.TV has been pretty much locked onto them for a, you know, for the first week into the season. All right, since I'm the prospect guy, do you want some like super deep guys, like outside the top 30 guys that Rangers fans should pay attention to for when they eventually make it onto these lists?
Yes, I would love that. Give me the random prospect guys that are only like, there's some hearsay and whispers that there might be a guy. This guy threw 100 once, but he's shrouded in an invisibility cloak. Like, give me those type of guys. Those are my favorites.
One of these guys, literally the video I think was filmed on a potato. I could barely, and then to go along with it, I got like a blurry cell phone camera of a TrackMan screen. Like, it's... But, okay, so right-hand pitcher Emiliano Teodo. I think I'm saying that right. He's got great velocity. He's got a great spin. So, like, the stuff is there in the pitches. He's just incredibly young. He needs professional innings. And then if you look at him, he's a little bit on the smaller side. He's not, like, Tristan McKenzie small, but he's a little bit on the lighter side and needs that body development. But like, I'm looking at his velo, and he's already upper 90s. The size that he is, give that man 10 pounds of muscle, 15 pounds of muscle, you know, put him in a professional like nutrition and, so like, and a, weight a, development.
Like a Ronnie Enriquez type?
Yeah, like he's going to be throwing 102. I mean, he's going to be 100 green. So like guy, super deep, I'm excited on, just if nothing else, just to see him play domestically.
Yeah.
Outfielder Yosi Gallan. I think I'm saying that right. Okay. Tons of power. Just, I mean, hits like light tower power, just hits bombs. Got a little too much swing and miss. So that's something where I think if you see him on this list, it's going to be, can't he fix that? Mm-hmm. Can he just make more solid contact? And then the last one is Daniel Mateo. Lots of questions I have about Daniel Mateo. Exceptional defender in center field. I've heard he added like 20 pounds of muscle, which is a lot.
Yeah. That's a lot.
And so the first thing I think of is I think of like Jasson Domínguez of the Yankees, who went from like plus speed to average speed because he kind of thickened up a bit. He was eating stuff that was not Built Bars. He was eating candy bars, not Built Bars. And so Daniel Mateo added 20 pounds of muscle. I want to see how fast he is. I'm worried he may have to move to a corner, but I still think he'll have above average defense at a corner spot. He's got contact ability. If he can trade some of that speed for some power, have above average defense in a corner, you're going to be incredibly happy. I just need to see him run a little bit first. But three guys who pretty deep in the system, but have a lot of intriguing tools, are going to be in the low minors this year, and hopefully they can be part of like the tail end of that next wave coming to Texas.
Yeah, and we talked a little bit at the top of the show about the depth of middle infielders, and there are quite a few of them, but I think there's only a couple of them that I feel like are legit shortstops. Because at this point, you've got Luis Angel Acuña, we both had in the top 10. Josh Smith, I think, is a legit shortstop, but his bat is going to be good enough to where the Rangers are going to want it in there and probably will end up putting him in the outfield. Acuña, I think, is a legit shortstop. Maximo Acosta is a guy who is at number 11 on my list and is kind of, fringy in there. Trevor Hauver was listed as a second base / left fielder. That dude is just going to be playing left field. That is not an infielder. Davis Wenzel is a guy who I don't think most people have on their prospect list. He was compensatory round. But he was picked literally right
what
after.
What a very nice round you have there.
It's so nice of your round. Oh, you're so pretty this round. But he was picked right after Josh Young. They're both co-players of the year in the Big 12 that year. And I was just kind of confused by the pick at the time because, they looked very similar. Obviously, they both had, some questions about their power. He's turned out to be a little bit better of a defender. I think he is a legit shortstop. He kind of strikes me as a Culberson type in that there's not going to be a lot of power there. I would have liked to see more of that. But I think he's going to have a pretty long big league career as a backup utility guy because he plays a pretty decent shortstop, pretty good third base, plays some second base and some corner outfielder. Good dude, likable dude, impeccable flow. Just impeccable flow.
And I
think he's going to be on some rosters for a long time. If not, pushing Charlie Culberson, maybe even this year, depending on how fast he gets that bat around AAA pitching.
And part of that for him is he's just had bad luck with injuries. Yeah. I mean, once he's healthy, I have him at like 32 on my board. I have him right above Bubba Thompson, who just needs to stop striking out so much, for the love of goodness. Man, stop. Cut it out.
That guy made some pretty big developments last year in terms of like plate approach to the plate and ability to recognize spin. Like it was like 2019, and I was kind of like, I don't want to give up on a kid with those kind of tools that was a first rounder. Also, he is a kid from Alabama, so like I've got some love for that there. And I think he was also thinking about signing with Bama to play football before he got drafted in the first round, which is a great career move. But he started to figure things out. Those tools are loud, and if he can have at least an average approach, like he could be a big league starter. That things would have to go better, but I think he's going to be at the very worst an impact bat off the bench and provide some pretty decent outfield defense and speed. He's got some loud tools, and to be a major league bench player, you got to have some loud tools. You can have some deficiencies like he does with the approach, but you got tools like that. The Rangers, any team, should give you a long leash to figure things out.
Yeah, I mean, just the athleticism's there. He can play, and that's something where, okay, there's always a role for that kind of guy in baseball. He can field, he can hit enough, he can run. You're going to be able to use him. And I want him to do more. He was an Auburn commit for baseball before he was an Alabama commit. He flip-flopped, and so a little bit of me is like, you can't go from one to the other. That's not how it works.
I mean, it did for I can't remember that linebacker that got an Auburn tattoo and then transferred to Alabama.
Rashawn Evans.
That's the one.
Rashawn Evans. Absolutely. He got an Auburn tattoo, and then he flipped from Auburn to Alabama.
Or was that Reuben Foster?
Oh, Reuben Foster. You're right.
I was like, I can't remember exactly who it was, but
kid too.
Mm-hmm. I'm glad that we got some Auburn Bama rivalry into this podcast. Wait until the 30. I knew it was going to come out sometime. I made sure to wear my Alabama shirt, even though my head is covering up this Alabama flag. But you knew it was going to come out sometime.
The Auburn Alabama baseball series is actually going to be pretty impactful this year. Both teams are like neck and neck in the SEC West behind Arkansas. And so the Iron Bowl of baseball is actually going to be a big deal this year. So
the Iron Baseball?
No, got him. There you go.
About to say, I played my one athletic flex is that I played club water polo for Bama. And every time that we played Auburn, we called it the Iron Fishbowl, and it was one of my favorite things. And we were undefeated 3-0 in my three Iron Fishbowls during my long and storied two-year career as a backup club water polo player for the University of Alabama. Just
got
to
I got my MBA from there. Auburn and had no idea we even had a club water polo team, so that's cool. I had no idea we even had one.
Nobody knows. We only do travel tournaments, but we actually did have a travel tournament in Auburn, so I have seen the plains in my time at Alabama. But this has been a lot of fun talking Rangers prospects with you. Any final thoughts on this system? Any final things that you're most excited about for this farm system this year, or just things that you're genuinely impressed by about the Rangers doing?
I want to see Jack Leiter pitch in the big leagues now. just do it now. Who cares? Do it now. If you want to wait for the Super 2 deadline, do that. That's fine. But just go ahead and promote him. We all know he's ready. Come on. What are we doing?
He threw 60 whole pitches, and I think a little bit more than half of them were strikes in that start on Saturday. But the kid is as polished in so many ways. At interviews, you know, you could tell that this is literally all he wants. Like, I put Josh Jung really high up on because of his makeup, but like Jack Leiter has a really high makeup too, and both of them are absolutely clinically obsessed with baseball. Like, Josh Jung has been hurt, and while he's been hurt, he's been at every spring training game, talking to everybody, sitting on the bench, absorbing every little thing that he could. And I know Jack Leiter is so ridiculously solely focused on baseball, you can tell in his interviews. Not that he's like a jerk about it, but he's just like, yeah, I know the stock answer to give. My dad pitched in the big league for 20 years. He's also on television, so I know how to answer your stupid questions and make me look nice and make the Rangers look nice, and also let you know that I don't give a crap about any of this. I just want to go out and annihilate hitters, which is what Rangers fans should
I'm
absolutely
just here,
love.
Yeah. That is his version of I'm just here so I won't get fined.
Yeah, but he's even nice about it, too. It's like, oh, okay. He even answered my stupid question about Waterberg, which I'm like, there you go. He answered it the right way, too. Didn't just answer it, but like had some personality about saying that he liked Waterberg. I'm like, yeah, that's what you do. That's what you do when you're in Texas. You have done your homework. Kudos to you, Jack Leiter. Now go shove and get to AAA like next week, and then get to the big leagues the week after, because John Gray's already hurt, and I'm jonesing for some Jack Leiter major league innings, which I'm hoping that we get by the end of the season. But thank you so much for joining me. Where can Rangers fans find you and your good work, Lindsey Crosby?
So I'm on Twitter at Crosby Baseball. My show is on Twitter at Locked On Farm, and you can subscribe to Locked On MLB Prospects, wherever you get your podcasts, and YouTube. And if you have questions about any guys in the system, we do mailbags every single Monday. Send them in.
It's a great mailbag and a great show. Thank you so much for taking the time. That'll do it for this edition of Locked On Rangers. And until next time, don't forget to enjoy baseball.